The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Monday, May 20th, 2024, and the president of Iran is dead. What does this mean for the Middle East? Where this could be leading? And is this major? And could this be leading to the fulfillment of major prophetic events in the future? We're going to cover this and much more in tonight's podcast. But before we get started, again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody. If you're new to the broadcast, we welcome you. Let us know in the comment section below that you're new. If you're commenting on YouTube or Rumble, where you can comment, let us know that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. I want to encourage you to do a couple things for me before we kick this off tonight. Of course, as always, we want you to hit that like button, hit that share button, and for your benefit, hit that bell notification, and it's going to keep you informed on these platforms of where of any video and any content, updates, everything that we put out there. And of course, if you've not downloaded our free app, we want to encourage you to pick that up today at your Apple or Android Play Store. Get it today. This is how you will keep informed and not have to worry about social media platforms, suppression, censorship, banning, and not being able to see our content. So if you get the app, pick it up today. Hit yes to push notification, and you're going to be squared away and good to go. The president of Iran, President Raisi, has been killed in a helicopter crash, an accident that took place. This was breaking news yesterday. We covered this all day. There was a search party that was looking for him, and then it was confirmed late last night that indeed he was found to be dead.
The president of Iran died yesterday in a helicopter crash. Ibrahim Raisi's legacy of oppression in Iran earned him the name the Butcher of Tehran.
Iran's supreme leader appointed first Vice President Mohammad Makhbir as the country's acting president after Raisi's death. Iran's cabinet also announced they would continue the policies of Raisi. According to a TV state report, Raisi's helicopter crashed in bad weather after returning from inaugurating a dam in Iran's East Azerbaijan province. Iran's foreign minister also died in the crash. The crash comes after months of war between Iran's proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah, and Iran's unprecedented drone and missile attack in April. Raisi is known as the Butcher of Tehran for his involvement in sentencing thousands of political opponents to death in the 1980s after the Islamic Revolution.
An expert in Washington, D.C., called Raisi one of the most evil men serving one of the most brutal regimes in existence today. The people of Iran will never forget his crimes. His death will present major challenges for the succession to Khomeini. Supreme leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei, is the epicenter of power in the Islamic Republic and handpicked Raisi as his candidate in what was widely reported as a sham election back in 2021. Now, again, Raisi was known for his brutal crackdowns on Iranian demonstrators, including individuals who participated in the 2022 Women, Life, and Freedom Movement to secure justice for the regime's murder of the young Iranian Kurdish woman that was killed. Now, here is another headline. The next president of Iran, according to an ex-CIA official, will fall in line with the supreme leader Khamenei's support for terror. Again, according to this official report, Iran will fortify its relationship with the axis of tyranny and continue to carry out its support of following President Raisi's death in a helicopter crash again over this weekend. Quote, I think we're going to see the continuation of the general contours of Iranian foreign policy, meaning domestic repression, carrying on support to and their so-called axis of resistance against Israel and the U.S., and then fortifying their relationship, their alliance with this new axis of tyranny, Russia, China, and North Korea. This was all said during an appearance by this ex-CIA official on Fox and Friends on Monday. Now, what's interesting is Putin, on the arrival of the news of the death of Raisi, stated that he was a good friend of Russia. Now think about that for a moment. Rouhani, who again was called the butcher of Iran, did what he did, was responsible for what he did, and Putin called him a friend of Russia. In fact, there was several meetings that was conducted by Rouhani and Putin. And I'm going to show you some stuff as we go along in this program. I'm going to show you some stuff that is profound, because remember at the opening of this, I asked the question, what does this mean for the Middle East? What does this look like going forward, and what could transpire out of this? And is this prophetic? Upon hearing the news of the fatality of this president, there was mass jubilation in Iran. In fact, I've got an article here I want to show you. This is from the Daily Mail. Here's the headline. Iranians celebrate the death of President Raisi with fireworks while victims of his torturous regime and their loved ones dance and drink a toast to his fatal helicopter crash. Now, why is there such jubilation and celebration? And it's mainly from younger people, and it's the younger generation of Iran. Because again, remember, this president was a tyrant. He was a dictator. He ruled by force. Many innocent were slaughtered. Anybody who opposed him, he goes right in the ranks of Kim Jong Un. He's up there with President Xi and China. All these nations that have tyrannical leadership and that suppress the people, that controls the people and silences them. And listen, I've heard from many missionaries who have connections and personally has known people, or they've been into the what we call the 1040 window in the Middle East, and they've all said that there is a massive revolution happening in Iran. Now, you don't hear a lot about this on the Western news sources, and you definitely ain't going to hear about this from Middle Eastern news sources, but there appears to be an uprising of younger individuals who they're sick of the tyranny, they're sick of the oppression, and this is why, again, there's such jubilation and celebration in the streets of Iran. There's also, guys, I've heard many reports on that there is actually revival. There is a move of God, believe it or not, that is taking place in Iran. And again, you're not going to hear this in the open squares of Iran, but this is underground, just like in the underground church in China. There is a movement of God taking place. God is moving among an unreached group of people. Come on. Can I just listen? I know we're giving you an update today on this, but I feel like preaching here just for just a few moments. Listen, one of the things, one of the questions I had a long time ago when I was praying about this, because in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, I'm taking a little bit of a side trail here, but I promise you I'm going to pull us back into this. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come." Well, I know that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes into me except, no man comes to the Father but through me." So I know, and for you guys, most, I'd say predominantly our audience here are believers, and we all understand that the Word of God specifically tells us that there is no other name under heaven unto men in which we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. So in order for an individual to enter into eternity with God, come on, they have to come through Jesus Christ. So one of the questions that I had always been intrigued by, and I prayed about this, and I said, "Lord, how can these unreached groups, these individuals who either A, are in these communist nations and these tyrannical nations where the leadership is suppressing the truth, preventing missionaries coming. If a missionary is caught even bringing a Bible into some of these places in the Middle East, and most of these places in the Middle East, then there is strict punishment for that. Incarceration, fines, imprisonment, even death. So I had that question. How are these individuals, how are all of these Muslims going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? And then I had another, and then this is on the same, and this is the same coin. You got a head to the coin and a tail to the coin. On the other, on the flip side of the coin is, what about the individuals that are part of these indigenous tribes? These locations where no person has ever set foot on it. No missionary. There's never been anybody who has pioneered into these islands, these unreached locations. How are they hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I believe the Lord gave me the answer to this many, many years ago. So here's how the Lord is reaching these unreached group of people. Whether they live in tyrannical nations, under dictators, where they will not allow missionaries, they will not allow evangelists, they won't allow the word of God to enter into their location, or it's an indigenous tribe, it's an unreached group of people where no human individual can reach them, these locations. How are they hearing the gospel? The answer is in Job 33, verses 14 through 18. Here's what it says. This is Job 33, 14 through 18. And by the way, I want to welcome all of our Apple and Spotify listeners. So I just want to give you these verses here. For God may, listen to this, God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. Look at this, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. In order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if man is not allowing missionaries and evangelists and the word of God to enter into their proximity for the people to hear the gospel, the good news that salvation is through Jesus Christ, then God himself, are you hearing me, is showing up in dreams and visions and revealing himself to these people. This, my friend, is why you keep hearing all the reports of Muslims having these open visions and dreams of Christ appearing to them, the Messiah appearing to them. And these people, and you hear these stories, I mean, it's constant, like hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals coming forward testifying that Christ is appearing to them in dreams and in visions and revealing himself not just as a prophet, but as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So this is, again, we got to remember something here. This gospel of the kingdom has got to be preached to all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. There's going to be a shakeup of powers. There's going to be a shakeup of nations. Remember, Haggai told us, Hebrews tells us that all that can be shaken will be shaken. Heaven, earth, sea, and the dry land, all of it will be shaken in the last days. Now look at this headline, quote, dangerous Iran faces brutal civil war after President Raisi's death in helicopter crash. Why is it facing a civil war? We just went over this. Because you have this split in Iran of these individuals who has this mindset of radicalization. And then you have this other, you have the modern younger generation that are not interested in that. They want freedom. They want to have the freedoms that many of us have privilege to, at least now in America. And who knows how long that's going to last, but at least for now, we have these freedoms. But again, we take that for granted. But these individuals don't have that luxury. Come on, ladies, talk to me, somebody. You ladies here in America, you have the luxury to be able to let your hair down. You have the luxury of not having to cover your whole body up and your face and your head, and you can can wear your jewelry and you can wear your makeup and you can wear this and that, and you have the freedoms to go here and do that and marry who you want. This is not the case in these locations. And again, this is why there's this uprising, and there could be these civil wars, that this major civil war that can break out in Iran. Now, guys, again, how is that biblical? Well, that's biblical. Remember, let me pull this up. I'm going to show you this. All right, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, again, this entire context of this is about the sign of your coming and the end of the age. This is the answer that Christ gave us, what will be the signs of this. In this passage, in verse 6, Matthew 24, 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now look at this. Nation will rise against nation. Now again, in the Greek, this is ethnos against ethnos, or ethnicity against ethnicity. And then he says, and kingdom will rise against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes. All these are the beginning of sorrow. And then in the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, Luke said here that you will hear of wars and commotions. Look at this. But do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. This is why it's important to understand the things that are happening. These are, again, Matthew said these are the beginning of sorrows. Luke says the end will not, or Matthew says the end will not come yet. And then Luke, the gospel of, writer of Luke, said the end will not come immediately. You're going to hear of wars. You're going to hear of commotions. But then, and then you read on down here to Luke 21, 25, and the gospel writer of Luke says that the earth will experience there will be distress of nations with perplexity. Now, if you guys are a regular listener, viewer of our program, you will remember we have covered this in many segments. Distress of nations with perplexity in modern vernacular literally means that the nations will be in complete upheaval. There will be, we could say that, listen, this does no harm to the scripture by saying this. There could be even civil war and factions that rise inwardly among the nations themselves, among the people of the nations. And that word perplexity is confusion, chaos, disruption. They don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go left or go right, go here, go there. Who do we turn to? What do we look? So again, the Bible tells us that as we get closer to the end of the age and the coming of the Son of Man, that the distress of nations with perplexity, the wars, the commotions, the nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, these things are only going to intensify and increase in magnitude. Now, I want to shift gears here. We've went about probably 20 minutes or so, 23 minutes. I want to shift gears here. And I want to cover something that you probably won't hear a lot on. You won't hear this on the news for sure, on the mainstream media. And I don't know how many prophetic channels or ministries or watchman networks are going to talk about this factor, but I want to bring this out here, okay? And that is, when I saw this happen, a chill went up my spine for this reason. I want to take you back before the helicopter crash. I want to show you an article that I knew was taking place, but I want to show you this. The U.S. and Iran held indirect talks this week on, quote, avoiding more attacks. In this report, now, this literally took place days before this helicopter crash, wherein which two top Biden administration officials reportedly held indirect talks with Iranian officials in Oman this week on how to avoid escalating regional attacks. The talks involved President Biden's top Middle East advisor and Abram Paley, who is the acting U.S. envoy for Iran, where the first round of discussions between the U.S. and Iran since January were similar negotiations were held in Oman. The talks occurred just over a month after Iran's unprecedented missile assault on Israel on April the 13th. The attack put the Middle East on the cusp of a regional war. Iran at that time fired 350 ballistic missiles and drones toward Israel in retaliation for Israel's assassination of its top Iranian Quds Force general in charge of that nation's military operations in Lebanon and Syria. This was the first ever direct attack on Israel that had been launched from Iranian soil. Iran's attack was defeated in an unprecedented joint and air missile defense effort by Israel, the U.S., U.K., France, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. Now, according to this report, one of the Biden administration's main goals since October 7th has been to prevent the Gaza conflict from leading to a regional war. The U.S. thinks Iran has a lot of influence over its proxies in the region. Those include Hezbollah in Lebanon, the pro-Iranian militias in Syria and Iraq that conducted the attacks against U.S. forces, and the Houthis in Yemen, who still attack ships in the Red Sea. Now, the report went on to say that several Iranian officials hinted in recent weeks about the possibility of Iran moving toward production of nuclear weapons. Now, what I find interesting is there's not a lot of details about this conversation that took place with these Biden administration officials and Iran officials. Now, we know, let's talk about this. Let's be realistic here. We know that recently Biden has turned a cold shoulder towards Israel. He has shunned Benjamin Netanyahu. He's even accused Benjamin Netanyahu of committing war crimes, that he could have committed war crimes. He's cussed Benjamin Netanyahu in telephone conversations. There's reports indicating that. He has threatened Netanyahu, threatened Israel. Biden has said that he wants to push for a two-state solution. So having all that evidence already on the table, it makes me wonder what was being said behind closed doors. Now, what's interesting, if you go over to Ezekiel chapter 36, this is quite frightening here. Listen what the prophet said here in Ezekiel 36, 2. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you. Now, the enemy is saying of who? Israel. This is all about Israel right here. Because the enemy has said of you, aha. Now, look at this. The ancient heights have become our possession. Now, what's the ancient heights? This is the Golan Heights. This is the West Bank. This is that whole area that the Palestinians want to claim as a Palestinian state. They want possession of this. This is where all this scuffle and this fighting is going over. And notice the prophet saying, because the enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy. So he tells the Ezekiel to prophesy and say this, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, so that you become, look at this, you became the possession of the rest of the nations. Wow. Remember, what have we been telling you guys? Israel will become the cup of trembling to all the nations that will surround it and will attempt to divide it and heave it away, but they'll be broken in pieces and judged according to Zechariah 12 and Joel 3. Look at this. You are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. Taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the desolate wastes, and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all of Edom, who gave my land to, listen to, look at this, who gave my land to themselves as a possession. This is nothing new, guys. With wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country. Guys, this has been going on for 2,000 years. Ever since Abraham decided to help God out with the promise that he was what was given to him, which was supposed to be the birth of with Isaac. He decided to help God out, and he birthed Ishmael. Now, Ishmael is, the Bible says, you go back and read it in the book of Genesis, Ishmael was a wild man. His hand would be against every man. All of the descendants of Ishmael are the very people that Israel is dealing with. So you literally have Israel, which you have Isaac, the promise, which represents Israel, and you have Ishmael, which again represents the Arab nations. Because read it, it's in the book of Genesis. God said, now look, here's what's crazy. God blessed Ishmael. He said that Ishmael would be fruitful. He would produce an offspring, and princes would come from Ishmael. Now talk to me, somebody. Where do you find princes today? Mostly in Arab nations, Saudi Arabia, different places like this, Jordan, etc. So again, this conflict has been going on for over 2,000 years and will continue all the way up to the time that Christ is born. But don't miss what I'm saying here. We don't know, what it would have been to be a fly on the wall in that meeting. I am willing to guess and venture to say that there was probably a lot of derogatory talk against Israel, threats against Israel. The only one who knows it, friend, is God himself. Now, I'm going to pull up something here. This is another article that I thought was very intriguing. Now, this is from World Israel News. Look what it says here. Rabbis describe Iranian president's helicopter death as, quote, divine retribution. Upon hearing the news of the crash and death of Raisi on Sunday's helicopter crash, several rabbis in Israel declared that the death of the enemy of Israel was an act of divine retribution. Again, this is not my opinion. This, again, these are multiple rabbis. One rabbi took to Facebook to condemn. He called him the hangman of Tehran. Now, again, think about that, guys. That goes back to Esther and Persia and Purim, which, again, there was a blood moon over Purim. And I just want to point that out. We told you about that. We warned you. There was three blood moons, one this year, one next year, and then the year after that. All three of these blood moons are all falling on the Feast of Purim, which again is connected to the Book of Esther, in which Esther went in by the hand of the Lord, and she was able to spare her people from, at that time, the hand of Persia and their tyranny. And God, he turned it around on the enemy, and Haman was destroyed. This is exactly what they're talking about here. Now, some of this I can't even repeat, some of these words from these rabbis, but let me give you this one. One rabbi, Rabbi Nir Ben Artsi, warned Iran to, quote, have mercy on yourselves. God said, enough is enough. You have angered him. Look at this. Rabbi Yitzchak Batsri liken Raisi to the Persian villain Haman. There you go. Who in the biblical book of Esther attempted to have all the Jews in the kingdom terminated, but ended up being destroyed on his own gallows. So look, many of these rabbis called him Haman. They called the president of Iran the modern day Haman. So let me ask you something. Do you think it's a coincidence that a blood moon in the Middle East that appeared in the Middle East during the Feast of Purim, which is connected to this very scenario? Everybody, listen, when we talked about this, there was people that scoffed this and laughed and said, oh, that stuff doesn't mean anything. But look at this. We warned you that that Israel would be directly involved in a conflict with Persia, which is modern day Iran, it very shortly and consequently, literally within days after that blood moon, that this unprecedented attack was carried out by Iran against Israel. And now a month later, are you kidding me? A month later, Following Passover, we have the report of what the who the rabbis call the modern Haman has now perished. Now here's, I want to leave you with this. Here's where things can get a little hairy and get rough. There is already reports circulating. One official from Iran has already come out and stated that if they find, now look at this, look at me. You guys that are watching the visual of this, you guys listening by Apple, by Spotify, I'm going to do the air quotations here. If Iran finds credible evidence that this quote-unquote accident was carried out by Israel and or American forces, then they would carry out an attack that has never been seen before. This is the threats that are circulating. One individual even pointed out that if Raisi is dead, this could be a, and I'm going to give you this quote, this could be a quote, an Archduke Ferdinand of the Middle East scenario. Let me read this. Quote, if Raisi is confirmed dead and foul play was found to be involved, this has the potential to turn into an Archduke Ferdinand of the Middle East scenario, especially given Raisi was rumored to be Khomeini's successor. And listen, if you're not familiar with history, many historians regard the death of the Archduke of Ferdinand as the spark that initiated World War I. So the question is, if, let's just say if, and I would venture to say there's a very high probability that they're probably going to try to point the blame of this and look for an opportunity to point the finger at Israel and or America or the West. If they do, again, this is yet another trigger point, another powder keg that is set to explode in the Middle East and produce what we would know as World War III. Now, while all this is going on, there is now reports circulating that Benjamin Netanyahu's wartime government could actually be starting to crumble before our eyes. Let me give you this quote. Tensions within the Israeli government are exploding after Defense Minister Yoav Gallant earlier this week called out Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and gave him an ultimatum demanding that a day after plan be offered and approved by the government. Quote, I call on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to make a decision and declare that Israel will not establish civilian control over the Gaza Strip, that Israel will not establish military governance in the Gaza Strip, and that a governing alternative to in the Gaza Strip will be raised immediately, Gallant said recently. Meanwhile, the International Criminal Court is seeking arrest warrants for Sinwar and Netanyahu for, quote, war crimes over the October 7th attack and the Gaza war.
NBC News international correspondent Raf Sanchez is in Tel Aviv. He has the latest for us. Raf, good morning. So this is a significant move, right, for the ICC. This is the highest criminal court in the world. Tell us exactly what the court is saying and explain what this does mean for both sides in this conflict.
So, Savannah, this is a day the Israeli government has been dreading for months, and now it has arrived. The chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court officially accusing both the prime minister of Israel and the defense minister of war crimes and crimes against humanity. He is saying specifically that the Israeli government deliberately starved Palestinian civilians inside of Gaza by restricting the flow of food into the strip in the weeks after the October 7th attack. He is accusing Israel of intentionally attacking civilians, and he says all of this amounts to extermination and or murder. Now, he is also seeking the arrest of the three top leaders of Hamas. That is Yahya Sinwar. He is the chief of Hamas inside of Gaza. He is believed to be the main decision maker for the terrorist group in this conflict. He's also seeking the arrest of Mohammed Deif. He's the head of Hamas's military wing. And Ismail Haniyeh, who is the only one of the three who is outside of Gaza, who is the political chief. And in that case, once again, Savannah, accusing these Hamas officials of war crimes, crimes against humanity, specifically extermination, murder, hostage taking, rape, and torture. So this is about as high stakes as it can get. In terms of the legal process here, the chief prosecutor has applied for an arrest warrant to the judges of the International Criminal Court. So it is now up to a three-judge panel to decide whether to approve or decline that application.
According to a recent report, the International Criminal Court is seeking arrest warrants for both the leader of and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on charges of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Again, this is unbelievable. And again, I want to remind you that one of the voices that was in support of this was our very own president of the United States of America. So, friend, we are looking at a potential powder keg set to explode in the Middle East. And I want to leave you with this thought process. Remember, when you go to the War of Gog, Magog, Ezekiel 38:39, one of the main nations that is spearheading this entire coalition and this war, that they will raise these nations up and come against Israel in the time of the end, and they will invade Israel during a time of peace, is the nation of Persia, which is modern day Iran. So again, this nation, Iran, is directly involved in end time Bible prophecy. They're a main player in Bible prophecy. So this is why we got to pay attention to this. We need to keep our eyes on this. We need to be aware of what's going on. So in the coming days and coming weeks, it's going to be interesting to see who they have fill the president's, the deceased president's shoes. What will that mean? Is he going to be even more wicked than this former president? Or is he going to be conservative, and it's going to lean towards the support of the younger generation who, again, is looking for freedoms in the nation of Iran? So this is something we got to keep track of. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, please bookmark our site. Download the free app today, both on Apple and Android stores. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. And listen, guys, if you would love to support this ministry, if it encourages you, equips you, informs you week after week after week, I want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically and through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or by money order right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We plan on to be back on here tomorrow night, Tuesday, May 21st, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And we have a powerful segment lined up for tomorrow night. We're going to talk about angels and miracles. So you don't want to miss this one. This is going to be a very encouraging, equipping message that you don't want to miss. And then, of course, we'll be off Wednesday, and we'll be back Thursday and Friday. I do want to give you a heads up. I will be flying out of town on Wednesday night. Actually Wednesday afternoon, but I'll be flying out to Virginia for family. It's about that time of the year that we usually typically take these trips to Virginia and see some family. So we'll be going out there. We'll be gone again. We'll be gone Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we'll be coming back Monday evening. So there will be no broadcast next Monday. It's going to be Labor Day here in the U.S. as well. So we're going to take off next Monday. But I'm going into the studio, probably going in tonight and even tomorrow, and do some more tapings and recordings so that we can get those out there to you on Thursday and Friday. So we'll be here. We'll still be here. We'll still have these podcasts going tomorrow night, and then Thursday night and Friday night. So until we see you guys tomorrow night, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.